So this week, we had board meeting, and we were sitting in the sanctuary here, and it was a normal night, warm, so we had the door open, and all of a sudden this black bird comes into the house, into the church. And that may look small, but it's about 8 inches span, wingspan. About 30 minutes into it, trying to get this bat out, we open windows, right? Isn't that the normal thing? You'd open windows, take the screens off, open the doors, get the bat out. Well, we invited another bat in. And so we had two bats flying around. And it was, I think there's video on Facebook or something, but we got the brooms and we were whacking and working together, right? We were working together to get these bats out of the church. And I was going to say that this story, there were no animals that were killed in this story, almost, beside the point. But we worked together to get the bats out, and we eventually, I'm just reassuring you, there's no bats in the house at this moment. At least I don't think there are. But anyway, we worked together to get them out, and it worked. So I don't know how that story fits in, but it we work together is a good transition. So we've been talking about together. We've been talking about how God has put the church together and coming together as His body. We find peace. We find peace because God is the God of peace, right? And so if you have God in you, you have God's Spirit in you, you have peace. And if the other person has God's Spirit, then there is peace among you. And so when we come together, we find peace. And the second week, which was last week, we talked about togetherness. And we talked about coming together, we experience God's love. If God is love and we have Him in us, then we love one another. We love the other person and they love us. And we experience more of God's love together. And so today we're talking about together, but together when we come together, we grow stronger. When we come together, we grow stronger. We gain strength together. And so I want to start off with this analogy. There's a group of trees called the Pando clone. They are a bunch of aspen trees. You may know about them, but if you look at them, they look like ordinary individual trees. They look like they're by themselves, but in a grove together. But they have done some DNA testing and have found that this could be possibly the largest organism in the world. And the reason why they're the largest organism, well, let me just tell you, this is 106 acres. Mike gave us kind of the background for the worship time. There's 106 acres, 50,000 trees, and they're linked together with one root system. Isn't that incredible? Roots that keep the whole grove alive. And it's all one, together. Now, today, survival is threatened because there are small seedlings that are being, the deer are eating up, and there's some fungus and all that, but they're actually working together. They've fenced off a bunch of acres, and they're allowing those trees to continue to not be damaged and grow. And if you think about this group of trees, this group of trees represents the body of Christ. This is one analogy where we are all individuals, we're all different, but we're all come together in the name of Christ with the one root system that is Christ. He is the foundation. And so when you think of your life, do you face difficulties? Do you struggle with sin or temptation? Or struggle with financial difficulties, or maybe you struggle with loneliness, or you feel lost in life, or you have a lack of purpose, or you're struggling to meet the ends of life, the financial or whatever, or you're not growing spiritually and you keep struggling in this state, I want you to know that Paul writes this book to the church of Ephesus like he's writing to you and I, and he's reminding us that we used to have this old life. We used to struggle with sin and temptation and loneliness and all of this stuff. And yet God has given us this new life. He's given us this organism, this mechanism, this body of Christ that we can come together and we can grow together. And so because of God's grace, the old life is now gone and the new life has come. The new family, the new multi-ethnic family, the Jews and the Gentiles have come together. There should be no more division. That we're all in the same family, unified. That should be living in peace and in love. Now, we don't see that because we are fallen, we're broken people, and we get things in our craw and we hold grudges and we walk away from the church. And Paul is here to say that he's reminding us and he's praying for us and he's asking God to strengthen us by his Spirit, and that we would grasp the love of Christ in the body. And so being one is God's plan. Being unified is God's plan for the church of Ephesus and for the modern church today, us, you and I, the church down the street, the universal church. And if you talk to any church, if you went to a different church and you said, you asked maybe the regular attenders or the leaders and you said, so are you guys a friendly church? I can guarantee that somebody would say, oh yeah, we're a friendly church. But the question is, are they really a friendly church? Are they a loving church? The thing is, churches, no matter which church you go to, can become stagnant. Can become unfriendly, can become focused on themselves and not on others. And so we'll talk a little bit about that next week and God's mission to be friendly, to be loving, to be real. And so God's intent for us as believers in Christ is to do life together. Life together is better than by yourself. So Our series thesis is to find peace, is to experience love, is to grow stronger, and then in to do God's mission together. All of that together is the body of Christ. And so to be a community of love and peace and grace and impact. So Paul writes this book, called Ephesians, and he's writing to the church of Ephesus, and he's telling them the first half of the book. He's saying, look, this is the redemptive story. This is the peace and the love and the grace and the mercy that God has given each and every one of us, and we receive it. And Jesus died on the cross and saved us from our sins, and we can be free from death and eternal separation from God. But Paul doesn't stop there. He says, because of this redemptive story, because of Jesus doing this for us, then it's our turn. Because in chapter 4, he has this word in some of the translations, and it's this word, therefore. So Christ died for you, therefore. We pray for blessing, but there's a therefore. God bless us so that I may bless others. Christ died for you. He saved you from sin. Therefore, Paul prays a prayer in verse 1 of chapter 4. He doesn't necessarily pray a prayer, but it's this attention that he's saying he is a prisoner of the Lord, and then he says something to us how to live. And so this is very important. Therefore, turns the gospel story from just being God and man to us. Where do we fit into all of this? And so let's look at Ephesians 4. I'm going to bounce around from a few different verses, but Ephesians 4, 1 through 3, is Paul is saying, therefore, as a prisoner for the Lord, therefore I have become a follower of Jesus. Therefore I have been, I have experienced Christ's love and peace, and therefore I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. Now, I'm sure that you could go out into the wilderness, go hunting or fishing or whatever you would do, backpacking, and you could experience God's love and His presence. But I'm not sure you could live worthy of the calling if you did that. The calling of Christ. To become a follower of Him, you actually become part of His family, His church, His body. And so there's something important here. And if you live alone in the wilderness, which you could, there would be something missing. There would be the one another's that would be missing. There would be the purpose of what Christ has called us to do would be missing. We have a purpose statement on the back that says, and I have it up on the screen, it says, we provide here at this church a safe place, or you could call it a space. We want to create a space where people are encouraged, that we're encouraging love, we're encouraging truth, and we are giving people an opportunity for a changed life in Christ. And so that's what we try and accomplish by coming together to speak truth, to show love, and to give people the opportunity to have a transformed life, a changed life in Christ. And so there is something hopeful, there is something encouraging, there is something beautiful about coming together. I said last week it's way better than going to the bar or going to the games together. That's great stuff, hanging out with other people. But there is something missing when you don't bring the God card into it or God's purpose into it. And so, sometimes I think we forget. This last week, we get together with pastors around Sweet Home, and there's maybe 8, 9 of us. And we come together, and we pray, and we share what we're struggling with. We share some of the joys and some of the struggles, and we pray for each other, and pray for you guys too. But the primary thing is to pray for our struggles and pray for us as pastors. And it always amazes me how we forget humanity, you and I, we forget that there are people out there that are in the same boat as ourselves. That when we get together and we share our struggles and joys and the other person then shares those, what happens? I'm not alone. That person has the same struggles as I. I'm not in this by myself. They can encourage me and I can encourage them. And so we need people to help us. They can help us with blind sides. They can help us see things that we can't see when we come together as the body of Christ. They can help us be strengthened in areas that we may be weak and they are strong. And so when we come together, we start hearing each other's stories. We realize that we are not alone. And then we gain strength from others. Ephesians 4:15, verse through 16, it says, and this kind of sounds like our purpose statement a little bit, but it says, instead of doing this, instead of living like that, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become, in every respect, the mature body of Him who is the head, that is Christ. From Him, the whole body, joined together, held together with every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love, as every part does its work. A couple analogies. There is strength in numbers, right? There is strength in things that come together and make things stronger. For instance, rivers. We all know that if you went to the Columbia, or if you went to the Mississippi, or you went to any of those rivers, you'd see a pretty big body of water moving quickly, deep and wide. But where did those start? They started at the top of the peak where the snow melted, drip, drip, and the rain, a little bit of rain came, and a little bit of the springs came up, and as they went down, the creeks formed, and then you had these rivers forming. And I have a picture of Niagara Falls. This is great strength, right? And it comes from one of the lakes, which comes from probably eventually from a river and from snowmelt and all of that. And so all of this little stuff coming together makes this great big body of water and its strength. And so when we come together, we gain strength. We grow stronger. Think of the animals in the animal kingdom. If you've seen National Geographic, you've seen a bunch of elephants together, they are a strong animal by themselves. But when they come together, you're not going to want to mess with them, right? So these elephants, they gather together because when they're alone, they're more vulnerable. You hear that word, vulnerable, right? When we are alone, when we think that we have to do it on our own, this Christian life, we are fooling ourselves. Because strength comes in numbers. God has provided the church to come together in numbers. It says, I said this last week, where two or more are gathered in my name, Jesus, I am there. That is strength in numbers. You remember Promise Keepers? When Promise Keepers was popular and the men were going, and we would have these massive 50,000 men coming together in these stadiums, and they would come together and they would sing and they would pray and they would hear God's word, and then all these small groups would come out of that and they would build each other up. And on Monday morning or Tuesday, the men could go to their work and they could have strength to go through their week because they knew that they had other men around them supporting them and encouraging them and praying for them. And so it's indescribable when you come together as a church in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus Christ, that you have strength. Acts 2:44 says that all the believers were together, and what? They had everything in common, meaning Christ. Now, you may have different opinions, and that's fine. That's not what this scripture is talking about. What this is talking about is they had everything in common, where they were on mission together. They were coming together, growing in Christ. And so, whether you're an introvert or an extrovert, we all need people in our lives. We all need believers in our lives. Each one of us can help create a community that is building each other up, that is spurring each other on and loving one another. You may be a coffee maker personality, or you may be a greeter personality, or a planting and watering flowers person, or a teaching children about Jesus person, or a facilitating life group person. But whichever person you are, you can participate in creating a body of believers that is stronger because of the part you play. Are you with me? And so, whichever person you are, you participate in the body. You are needed. We are needed together, to come together. Now, unity is not the same as uniformity. We are all different. We are all individuals, but we come together as different people, but united as one because Jesus is the head of the church. And so when we come together, we are able to sharpen each other. We are able to spur one another on. That's what we should be doing. And so Ecclesiastes, Solomon, who's one of the wisest men who ever wrote something in the Bible, I'm not going to debate about that, but he's pretty wise. And he says in Ecclesiastes 4, 9 through 10, two are better than one because they have a good return for their labor. If either of them falls down, one can help the other. But pity anyone who falls and no one is there to help them up. When Christ came, when Jesus came and he lived among us and he discipled 12 men and he discipled many others, women and men, and he came and established this thing called the church, the body of Christ, to come together. And then the Holy Spirit came upon them in Acts to do the work of God in his mission. And so we get back to Ephesians 4, and it talks about these apostles, verse 11 through 13, and it talks about the prophets, and it talks about the evangelists, and the pastors and the teachers. And if you stop there, you're like, wait a minute. I don't have any of those titles. Well, I'm guessing you might have one of those titles. Because just because I'm up here and I'm preaching today doesn't mean that any of you are not prophets or maybe an evangelist or maybe a pastor or maybe a teacher or any of those. Let's just not call them titles. Let's just call them a mission that God has placed on you to do, because we are all ambassadors for Christ when we come to know him. And so what are the apostles and the prophets and the evangelists and the pastors and the teachers, what are they supposed to do? They're supposed to equip, verse 12, his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we reach, what's the goal? Unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature. There's that mature word. I have to grow up. Attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. This is good stuff. And we can't do it on our own. I tell you what, we cannot go down to the gym and be consistent and be productive without some encouragement from other people. Maybe you can do it for so long. Maybe you're just really, really good at it. But we all need each other to spur each other on, to help us to get to where God wants us to be. There are a lot of days that I don't feel like I've attained or matured or anything like that to the fullness of God. And so we're still in process, right? We're still in, God's still working on us. And the only way for us to get to grow is to do it together. So Aristotle said, the more you know you don't know, right? You realize that there is so much more to know. And I'm not, and for this, I don't want you to think that we're talking about just knowledge. You could know all the knowledge and still not follow through with that in your life. or be changed or transformed. So the more I grow in maturity in Christ, the more I realize I need to grow more. And the goal is the fullness of Christ, to be fully like Him. So God's desire is for us to come together so that we will grow and mature. And this is how we do it. We come together and we have different gifts. We have different talents, each and every one of us. And we come together like this analogy, like the body. There's the head and there's arms and there's the legs. And so to be like Christ, in this picture you see, in 1 Corinthians talks about, now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is part of it. You see all the gears, and they're all different, but they're all working together as one. And so Ephesians 4, we'll just back up to 4 through 6. I was reading this week with One Sweet Home. We were talking about a few of the verses that we want to focus on. Ephesians 4, 4 through 6 says, there is one body and one spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. And so the body, again, is the perfect metaphor for this. Our human bodies are complex. They are amazing. So the body has all these different individual parts that function, but they are still one. Each part needs the other to be whole and to function well. So think about different parts. If one's not working, the rest of the body is affected by it. And so in Romans, talking about the body, chapter 12, verse 5, it says, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, each member belongs to all the others. Crud. That means I belong to you and you belong to me. And we're together. Oh. Because sometimes we have this independent spirit, don't we? We don't want to be belonging or connecting to somebody. We want to do our own thing. We got this independent spirit, but it really should be interdependent, which means I belong to you, you belong to me, we help each other out in Christ. And so we belong to survive. Like I said, if the body parts are not working right, if the eyeball is detached from the body, it is not good news for the eyeball or the body. If the heart is not working right, that's not good for the body, is it? If the big toe is hurting, you can't concentrate on things and do things in your life because it's really bugging you. And so when all the parts are working together as one, the body functions smoothly and correctly, and at times more than any others, it works well together when we are all working together in love, in growth, in peace. Jesus taught about the vine and the branches, and when we are in Him, He is in us. And so there's many other places in Scripture. There's references how the believers are one in God's household and family, and the church is the bride of Christ, and all of this unity coming together. And so in all of these descriptions, we become one, but we also become a refuge, a place of refuge, not a place of judgment. A place of where we can be honest in our weaknesses. A place where we can do God's kingdom work, and a place where we can find rest and worship together and find healing. And so I think this idea together, as one body we become stronger, is the reason believers can't just listen to a podcast or a sermon online or pray in the woods or sing worship songs in the shower and that's it. Now, don't get me wrong. Those are great things. Those are very important things. Those are things that you and God have, that you and Him only have, a connection. But there's something missing. Because God created us to connect with one another, to show His love to one another, to grow together and sharpen each other. And so, when we come together, we grow mentally and emotionally, and when we come together, we, on a regular basis, we grow stronger. And so the body of Christ, the church, is not just sermons or songs or prayers. The church is the people of God. You and I are the church. If we took this building and the chairs and everything away, we would still be the church. Now, granted, coming to a building is great because it gives us a place to do that. And as we come together as one, we grow. So some people think, maybe not you guys, but some people think the church is a pyramid and the pastor is the top. Or others think the church is as a bus driven by the pastor who takes his passive passengers where they should go. But God wants us to see the church as the body where every part does its work together. And so what is required of that? Well, that requires change. Change is hard. We will grow when we have changes in our life and other people's lives. And so because we don't like change, it's difficult. We don't allow it, or we walk away from it. And so just to get a little technical, neuroscience has studied some of this. Scientists have studied some of this, and they're increasingly seeing that actions shape our thoughts. The more often you perform an action or behave a certain way, the more it gets physically wired into your brain. And so neuroplasticity, if you can say that fine, but allows us to choose actions that create new pathways in our brains. So why am I talking about neuroscience? Because it helps us explain that what we can do in order to change and grow. Most change is not overnight. It's slow and it takes work. But while we would like to control all of our thoughts and feelings, the only thing we can truly control is our actions. And so when we come together, when we act it out, we find change and growth. If we want to see growth in the body of believers, we have to commit to working those muscles, forming the brain pathways, and choosing to act in obedience to God despite the thoughts or feelings that may come. Oswald Chambers said this, "As soon as we abandon ourselves to God and do the task He has taken, have placed closest to us, He begins to fill our lives with surprises." And so there's a connection. Together we grow stronger by trusting God and doing the next thing, the next obedient thing. We encourage each other in the journey. And as we put one foot in front of the other, together we trust God and we trust that He will bring that meaningful growth in our lives, in our church, and then in our world. And so as we continue the process together, we sharpen each other, we complement each other, we grow, and we are transformed. Now the rest of Ephesians talks about how we as believers are to act and to behave. We should be behaving and acting different than the world. Ephesians 4:22 through 24 says, "You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. And so the behaviors, the acts, the anger and the bitterness and the unwholesome talk and the rage should be eliminated. And what should be filled into our lives is kindness and compassion and forgiveness and thankfulness. And when we come together, we grow in those places. When we come together, we find that we get opportunities to practice those things together. And so, even though it's a slow process, the church comes together. We commit to ourselves, to each other, to come together so that our lives will change, and that while we're doing that, we will trust in His Spirit in us, and God's Spirit will give us courage, and He will give us the power to change. We can't just push harder. We need to rely on God. We need to rely on His strength. Remember, Paul struggled with the same things we struggled with. And one of the things that he struggled with was his health. Possibly, he was struggling with his remembering all the bad things that he did in his past. But he asked the Lord to take it away from him 3 different times, and the Lord said this to him in 2 Corinthians 12. The Lord said to him, "My grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, I am strong." So the excuse that we may have, we want to make excuses sometimes, but the church, there's just so many imperfect people in that place, and they're just hypocrites, and so I just don't want to have anything to do with the body or the church. Well, if we can just remind ourselves, the church is not a perfect place. It's not a place with perfect people. In fact, Pauline Phillips and others have repeated this, but a church is a hospital for sinners, not a museum for saints. Right? If we could wrap our minds around that, we are all sick. We all need Jesus. And we need each other to help us point back to Jesus. We need reminders. And so, the church is a group of people who are imperfect, but are filled with God's Spirit. Because He is perfect, we can be changed because of His power. And so don't use the excuse or settle for habits or practices that fall short of God's best for you, for us. God calls us to so much more, and He wants to carry us to fullness in Christ. He wants to strengthen and use us as His body here on earth. And He wants us to experience the joy of being one body, healthy and growing in full love. And so let's continue to journey together, committed to Christ, His church, committed to grow together. And so some of the things that you could do is you could join a Bible study with other women, ladies, at other churches, because that is still the body of Christ. You could join a life group. You could get somebody in church and say, "Hey, let's get together on a weekly basis and pray for each other and read Scripture together. Let's be the body of Christ together so that we can grow." I can tell you this. If you went to somebody and said that, I'm almost positive they say, "Sure, I'll get together with you and have coffee." Or, "Sure, I'll go with you to a Bible study." Together we grow stronger. Let's pray. Father, I just thank You, first of all, for Your love for us, Your peace that You have given us, Your this idea that you want us to grow in the fullness of Christ and mature. So I pray that you would come upon us this morning with a desire, that you would give us this desire to seek after you together with others, that we would become stronger because of it, that we would become mature because of it, and that we would be transformed because of what you have already done. And I just pray for the church here in this building. I pray that you would help us to grow stronger, and so that as we go out into your mission field, that you would use us to glorify your name. And Lord, I pray that you would bring us together amongst other churches in this town, that we would be unified with them as well to do your mission. So Lord, change us. Make us new people. In Jesus' name, amen.